For Thursday, January the 20th, 2011. It's the Palaver Audiocast with Lost in Bronx. Episode 8, Age Before Duty. Hello, this is Lost in Bronx. It's mid-January as I record this, already deep into a new year, with new promises and new hopes, but it's also the dead of winter in the Northern Hemisphere, and despite my home being located in the Arizona desert, despite the usual lack of precipitation and generally expected warm weather hereabouts, despite the blasted, arid mountains and occasional cactus, despite all these very true things, baby, it's cold outside. Nothing too surprising in this to people familiar with the high desert, but it's been unusually cold hereabouts lately, and we had about 10 inches of snow in a period of about 48 hours a couple of weeks ago. I know, people in other parts of the country wish they only had that much, and people from different parts of the world where they see real winters think, quite rightfully, that we're all just a bunch of crybabies here. Sorry, it can't be helped. Besides, this is all about me. Anyway, we've had snow and sub-zero nights and barely about 20 degrees Fahrenheit in the day, at least for a good long stretch there we did. That would make for some light, powdery snow to shovel, except that anything in the direct sunlight gets warmer, despite the ambient temps, and we have plenty of direct sunlight most days. You know, with the whole desert thing going on. So, no matter how cold it is, the snow still melts a bit during the day. On the one hand, that's good. It means the roads are getting better all the time. On the other hand, it means the light, powdery stuff becomes heavy, sticky stuff, no matter what temps we're talking about. And that means shoveling snow is an unbridled pain in the ass. I'm too old and fat for this. Not that Mama Nature cares, but I spent 2 hours in the cold after the snow fell, shoveling out the car and the road. They only plowed a single lane's worth on our street, so I had to dig way out to connect my driveway with the clear roadway, and it was harder than I remember. Now, I was born and raised in New England, and I know from snow, and I know from shoveling it. I've done a whole lot of that in my lifetime, thank you kindly. I've learned how to pace myself, and I really wasn't much worse for wear. In fact, we actually went out and did some shopping afterwards, and for the matter of that, I was up until the wee hours, insomnia being ever-present and accounted for despite all. So, no, it didn't wipe me out. What I really mean when I say that I'm too old and fat is that it's becoming increasingly hard to motivate myself to do unpleasant, if basic, tasks. When there are unpleasant jobs to be done, despite often having more experience in them now and thus having a better chance of accomplishing at least some of them more smoothly, I have less motivation than ever to even begin. It's like my always low store of motivation reaches a major ebb every time such a task is pending. I'd normally point to sheer laziness right around here somewhere, and to an extent I think I ought to, but I'm not convinced that it's the complete answer. Even a lazy bum can be motivated enough to make up excuses for himself, which isn't always easy to do convincingly, I might add, so please give an aging slacker a break. I mean, if it weren't for the slothful among us all, the ambitious wouldn't stand out. Now, in order to get up and get going, one must have priorities. I mean, if you need or want to do something, it will have to be important enough on whatever level and for whatever reason to actually do it or attempt to do it. Most of the time, this is either self-evident or unconscious. These mundane, unpleasant jobs are just there waiting to be done. I'm just there waiting to do them. oftentimes until they're not so mundane anymore, until they balloon into bigger issues. It's the tedium that gets to me. I mean, I'm bored thinking about those sorts of things. Shoveling snow, taking out the trash, doing the dishes, the laundry, the yard, whatever. I mean, they're killing me right now as I picture them. I'd rather Lance a boil most days than vacuum or fix a leaky faucet. Be that as it may, be my lethargy as it may, I have noticed in recent years that this behavior is increasing. In other words, I'm more lazy than ever, even though I have less time ahead of me than ever. Go figure. In fact, I wish you would, because frankly, I can't. It's a bit of a mystery. I'm slower, less energetic, more generally fearful about the merely speculative. You'd think I was getting old or something. See, and there it is, the crux of it. Age. I have more of it than I really want now. I look at the things yet to be done, the things that are needful in my life, and tend to notice the gaps rather than the seams. I see where things are wrong or could go wrong much more often than I see them going right in my head. And since most jobs begin in my head, lately most of them are ending there too. I only have this one life to judge it all by, that I know of. I mean, I'm an atheist and don't believe in reincarnation, but I've been wrong before. Anyway, I can only base this view on my 27 thus far, but I think this creeping mental state is a clear sign of age, decrepitude. Only the beginnings now. I'm not ready for the rocker just yet, or even anytime soon, but yeah, very likely there's more time behind me now than there is ahead. It's called middle age. Billions before me have been here, and billions, maybe trillions, are yet to come. But this one, I own. This age, these years, are mine, and thus my reaction to them is worthy of my attention. My values, too, are my own, but how they have been shaped by these years of mine, well, there may be tendencies or generalities I could reflect upon that are in common with my fellows, those of a certain age. We are more comfortable in our skins than before, while at the same time, more concerned about what time has done to them. Now, I may be unusual because I'm not really nostalgic. Oh, I could tell a funny tale or two from my formative years and talk about the cast of oddballs who populated them, but I almost never look back on any era of my life with longing. As I've said on numerous occasions, my best years are ahead of me, and I truly believe it. On those rare occasions that I do think back on the anxiety-laden loner I was in high school, you gotta know I don't miss him a bit. He spent far too much time worrying about other people. He wasted it all, too, because people were going to think what they wanted, no matter how he felt about them or himself. Because that's what people will do. They have their own thoughts and priorities, and you can't control them. Playing the disconnected psychologist for a moment, I'd have to say that the desire to control my environment was a primary motivator back then, a desire to control the people who walked in and out of my little world. Sounds bad when I put it that way, but it was all about avoiding pain, avoiding being hurt. Well, flashing forward to the here and now, I still have that desire, but it manifests in a different way. I no longer care so much about what other people think or say. I'm over that. I have enough faith in myself, or more exactly, so much less faith in other people's assessment of me, to keep my precious hours free of such anxieties. But the unknown and unknowable, that is to say the future, well, that's different. That does keep me up at night, precisely because it's in my own hands, to a large extent. And yet, at the same time, hardly at all. And in the end, not at all. At all. If I am hurt, if those I hold dear are hurt, well, maybe I screwed up. Maybe I should and really could have done something to avoid it. In other words, it'll be on me. And that's a frightening thought. It weighs more heavily than ever now. See, I have just enough experience in life to ignore the unlikely and unimportant things that could happen, and to see plainly the vital and very possible things instead. Now, that should be a comfort, but instead, these newer fears are all bound up in maybe, and it'd be just my luck, and I can't take the chance. So now, I think about the things I could be doing when I have things to do, things that take up my time when my time is now in shorter supply. I think about throwing out my back or having an infarction when shoveling. I mean, I'm not in shape. I'm not young anymore. Who'll take care of my peeps? I think about the ever-challenging financial situations I continually find myself in. I think about my son's future and the daunting challenges awaiting him. These are the bugbears that chase me now. They squeezed out the social fears of a child, and they seem likely to remain. Then again, the others didn't, so who knows? These terrors may prove to be just as false and wasteful of energy. I mean, if I gotta have fears, I'd sure be happier if they were largely false. Then again, history has shown that something else is just as likely to take up the frightful space vacated, so I can't win for losing here. You know, I always knew you slowed down a bit as you got older, but I didn't know it hurt so much. Aches and pains, joint issues, hemorrhoids, all that. And I sure didn't know that it would be so damn scary. I mean, nobody bargains for this, but it's an unpleasant and rather surreal surprise that while I grow more confident in myself and in my place in the world every year, I grow more and more suspicious and wary of the future. Because one of these days, my fears will prove absolutely warranted. Sorry. This wasn't very funny this time. Okay, how about this? This guy walks into a bar, and then he gets old. You get it? You will. Okay, here's an update on my science fiction audio drama, Blue Heaven. It's essentially done. Just have to get my ducks in a row. What with an RSS feed I don't have yet, and a contacts list for promoting it after it's released, which is currently pretty thin, and some other stuff. But I'm on schedule for a February release. Maybe the second or third, I'm not sure. You can check out some promos I put together, and the script for the audio play is up already. Check those out at http://info-underground.net/LNB. And I want to thank Deep Geek for putting that shortened redirect address thingy together for me. It does make life easier. Be on the lookout for Blue Heaven, coming to a media player near you. So that's it for this one. This has been Lost in Bronx. Take care. You can contact me at lostinbronx@gmail.com. That's LOSTNBRONX@gmail. You can check out my site at the aforementioned info-underground.net/LNB. That'll put you on the website of my Gopher space, which is where I hang my hat. If you want to see it directly in Gopher, you can go to that same address, and there'll be a link at the bottom of the page, which will pop you onto the Gopher server. But you'll need a Gopher client or a Gopher plugin for your web browser for that to work. Some browsers still do Gopher natively, but fewer and fewer these days. Whatever. The music for this episode is a piece called Slumlord by Lo Tag Blanco. That's L-O, then T-A-G, then B-L-A-N-C-O. It's released under a Creative Commons Attribution 2.5 Generic license and is available at ccmixter.org. Palaver itself is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 Unported license. You can use it any way you want, just mention my name and share it the same.